Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for last year, 2022, but we thank you also, Lord, and we thank you also for this new year, 2023. We thank you for your word that we are going to share on the first room this year. And we pray, as always, the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. Lord, inspire our hearts this morning with your word. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So, 2022 is gone and 2023 is here. And my first lesson this morning is, well, I'm going to do actually some prophetic declarations in a minute, but I'll give a short exhortation and it's for 2023. And this, I want this to be your, it is mine actually. This is my declaration. This is my faith posture this year. And I want it to be yours as well. You can adopt it and say, well, that was then, but this is now. And you know, the devil, a devil is a master craftsman when it comes to discouragement, when it comes to bringing failure up in our face, when it comes to bringing, you know, even accusations and this and that. I mean, all kinds of things. Maybe last year, maybe even years leading up to that, you might have had limited success. Maybe even a lot of failure, maybe some pain, maybe some sorrow, maybe some grief, maybe some distress, maybe some anguish, maybe some sickness, maybe even borderline poverty at times, disappointment, discouragement, I mean, you know, discouragement, all kinds of things may have been, you know, remember with our last room that we did on Saturday, we came up against all those four, you know, horns that the devil was using. You know, the bands of wickedness, you know, all of the heavy burdens, the oppressing spirits and all the satanic yokes, to leave them behind in 2022. And so we are taking a leap from that one. That, well, all those negative things, that was then, but this is now. So God has sent me here today to pronounce grace for new beginnings. And I'm going to make some declarations in a minute or in a little bit, but it's going to be grace for new beginnings. Now, there was a man in the scriptures that Jesus healed in John chapter 9. And when they begin to question him, because it just so happens to be on the Sabbath day, right? You know, then they, you know, they, it's all kinds of things, you know, they didn't, those people don't care about anybody. All they care about was their law. So, but he answered them and said in verse 25, John chapter 9, verse 25, you know, because they said, well, you know, if that man was a man of God, he would not have done this, you know, miracle on a Sabbath day. There are many days in the week in which you can come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. Can you imagine? So the man said, well, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know is, whereas I was blind, but now I can see. And that is an amazing posture for all of us to take for this new year. So, well, I don't know about that. I say that oftentimes in my life. When the devil tries to tell me anything, I say, no, well, I don't know about that one. That was then, but this is now. And let me tell you some things, you know, that traditionally hindered people, even in our walk with God. I'm praying that this year will be about walking with God more so than chasing all these other things. You know, that was the encouragement I gave to our church here, local church here yesterday, is that this is the year that we will be emerging, God said, from, you know, incredible things. But got to set our focus on the Lord. I want to keep my focus on the Lord. You know, but the enemy, even in spiritual things, the thing that keeps people back the most you know, the most. And I have taught that on this platform. Well, maybe not in this room, but on Clubhouse, you know, it's, you know, it's another platform. I taught some Walking with God series for many weeks, maybe about 14 weeks or so. And, you know, one of the things, you know, and I've spoken about it here and there on my, in my rooms as well, but one of the things that keep people back the most is seeing consciousness. It's like a veil. If you remember how the temple was structured, the temple that they had, the pattern that God gave Moses, how it was structured, they had veils between compartments. The veil, the first veil that people would see was the one that kept general people out. So the veils were actually supposed to keep people out. You can't peep into the next compartment, you know, and you can call that veil, you know, every door has two sides. You can call that veil, the one that the general populace saw, you can call it sin consciousness, because they were not good enough. They're not good enough to go into the other place where the priests went. You know, and, you know, when the priests were in the other place, the veil also has another side that they can see. Yeah, and those priests themselves, sometimes they themselves think that they are better than everybody else. So for them, their own problem is what? Self-righteousness. So it's a two-sided door or veil. On the one side is sin consciousness. On the other side, it can be self-righteousness. And then yet there's yet another veil that even they themselves can get into the most holy place. You know, now that veil, in this particular case, there's only one writing on it. And it's on this side, not on the inner side. Well, the inner side is a different thing, but I'm not going to talk about that. But on this side, the problem is need consciousness. That's it. And people are really walking with the Lord. They got the Holy Spirit now. They've got the menorah. They got the candlelight. They got all of this and so forth. But they can't really get into the most holy place because of need consciousness. It's always, Father, give me this. Father, give me that. And so on. They want to break that barrier this year. You know, so, you know, we want to take the Lord himself. I am your shield, an exceeding great reward. We want to take that beyond just what the Lord can give us. You know, the what the Lord can give us, the things we are chasing, those are the things that are keeping us out of the most holy place experience. So the most holy place experience, and I'll be talking more about that. You will hear a lot this year by the grace of God. You know, the most holy place experience is the place of brighter union with Christ. And it's full concentration. It's one person only that went in there. They called him the high priest back then, but it was a depiction of the highest place that God has called us into. But it's one-on-one. It's a brighter union with Christ. You know, and that's the place that we must get to. So we got to get past the same consciousness. We got to get past the self-righteousness. We got to get past the need consciousness. And we got to get into the place of brighter union with Christ. Communion. You know, a constant, you know, communication and communion with Christ. And a place and our desire and our goal must be to not go in and out. The in and out scenario is what the best of us have experienced. But what the Lord is looking for is the constant, you know, constant. Stay right there. Don't leave. And here's what happens with the in and out. When you are in the presence of God and you are, you know, trying to pray or do something or, you know, to gain some of his person. Because that's really what it is. Because God said, look, to Abraham, I am your shield and exceeding great reward. So when you're trying to gain some of God, you know, the your mind will go to something else, which is what God can give you, other than himself. And so we got to get past that. And then we can't really stay in his presence that long. The flesh can't handle it. So we got to also get back past, you know, this flesh thing. How do we do all of that? We've been learning more about that this year. So when the enemy brings these failures and all these things and also sin consciousness, you know, the devil would never let people get beyond their past. You never let you do it. You will never get away from it as far as the devil is concerned. He will always bring it up in your face. You know, all the people that Jesus set free in the Bible. You know, I mean, left to the Pharisees, they would never be set free. They would always say that, you know, Jesus should know that this person is a sinner. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 8, there's an incredible story there about grace for new beginnings. They brought this woman from the very midst of adultery. But I noticed they didn't bring the man. You know, it takes two to commit adultery. You know, I've often, the very first time I read this scripture many years ago, I'm like, what? Where was the man? Maybe he was one of their clock. You know, so, but it takes, as far as I know, it takes two to commit adultery. So anyway, they brought this woman to Christ to see what he would say, because they said, well, Moses commanded us to stone this woman. But what say you? Because they wanted to, you know, trick him up. They were always trying to do that for Christ. But after Christ wrote on the ground many things, I don't know, maybe the secrets of those men's heart, maybe their names and what they themselves had done. One by one, they all left. And the woman was standing alone. And the Lord said, well, where are your accusers? Has no man accused you? And she said, no man, Lord. And the Lord said this remarkable thing. I mean, this is the story of grace when condemned. Grace for new beginnings. The Lord said to her, well, that was then, but this is now. Go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn you. Now, so that's our lesson today. I'm going to keep it simple. The enemy will bring, you know, and the devil wants to leave you wounded like that. And I'll tell you, religious church leaders, they need to get their act together and do a better job in 2023 of building up the people of Christ and not to leave them wounded like that. But many religious folks, when I first came to this app, you know, about 2 years ago, I went from room to room just trying to figure it out. And all I heard was hurt. People that been hurt. They call it hurt in the church. You know, and all the things and what their leadership and their religious leaders, you know, and so on. I mean, it was just, I'm like, what? I mean, it was like a big time mess. You know, then I started to speak about against it some and bring out some things and so forth and trying to tell us that, look, don't leave them wounded like that. Glory to God. You know, so we must not leave the wounded. And it doesn't matter whether you are a religious leader or anybody for that matter, but it just so happens that these ones were the religious leaders. The story in Luke chapter 10, the example that Jesus gave, you know, that wasn't really what he was answering, but that story brings out, you know, so many different lessons that we can learn from it. In Luke 10, the story that we call the Good Samaritan, you know, the part that I'm talking about now is leaving the wounded down on the ground to die. And religious leaders coming by and doing nothing about it and just moving on. We can't do that. You know, so a certain priest came first, looked, saw him, passed by on the other side. Likewise, also a Levite. This is all Luke chapter 10. I'm not really reading, paraphrasing from about verse 30, you know, and so on. So, you know, and the Levite and the priest, these were the spiritual leaders of the day. And they left their wounded like that. But here is my take on it. Because of what Jesus said in Luke 10 and 30. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. This is my take on it. That the religious leaders came in there and said, you should have stayed in Jerusalem, which was the house of God. You had no business going down to Jericho, which was Sin City. So on the way between Jerusalem and Jericho, you know, he was attacked, stripped and left wounded. And then the religious leaders in their minds said, well, good for you. You should have stayed in the house of God, you know, and that would not have happened to you. So Jericho was the house of God. What business you are going to Jerusalem was the house of God. What business you have going down to Jericho for? You know, and they, you know, their religious indignation or whatever just despised the man and left him wounded like that. Plus, their religious or rituals of whatever service they were going to conduct was more important. But in any case, the story is that your religious leaders may have left you wounded like that in previous years. The enemy himself may wound you, may have wounded you and left you down. And there may have been failures, there may have been this, there may have been that, whatever. Even the devil will bring the old things. Look, if you had been this, if you had been more prudent, this would not have happened to you. If you had been this and that, yeah, you know, I took months at our local church teaching on a series of wisdom, you know, and I took all the pillars of wisdom and, you know, those who are from our church, they'll tell you. Spent a whole lot of time expanding it, telling the people, you got to use wisdom and so on. You know, but, and so the devil will come out against you and say, well, you didn't use any wisdom. You were not prudent. That's why you fell into all of these problems. I mean, you know, you should have done this. You should have done the other. And the devil is very cunning like that. And he will accuse you to your face. And then you will fall victim to sin consciousness. Sin consciousness. You know, but what Jesus did was he purged our sins. Which means it wasn't just forgiving our sins. You know, people thought that Jesus just came to forgive our sins, to die so that our sins may be forgiven. Well, that's good. He did that too. But it was way beyond that. Yeah, and these are some other truths that we're going to be bringing out in this room. The impact of what Jesus actually did, which some of us don't even realize. I mean, we know it somehow because of our religious teachings, but we don't understand the full impact. You know, but Jesus did more than just, you know, pay the price so that our sins can be forgiven. What does that mean? Well, it's beyond that. Pay the price not only so our sins to be forgiven, but also that we will be purged of our sins. Remove the sin nature and sin consciousness. So that now when the enemy throws up all that dirt in your face of all the things that you may have done, that even brought you here, you know, that you can say, well, that was then, but this is now. You know, and there are many other things, you know, that even trials and difficulties of life, some of which we covered on December 31st in this room, all the tactics that the enemy uses, well, you know, anybody that was in that room, and if you were not there, you should listen to it. I encourage you. The room we had, you know, December 31st. You should not let the devil put any of those things over you again. Here are the things that we should be saying as we go through this next year. This is our first day of the year here. Not the first day of the year, but the first room of this year. We should be saying, like John 9:25, well, that was then, but this is now. We should be saying, you know, similar to what Jesus said to the woman in John 8, and say, neither do I condemn you, you know, go and sin no more. These are the things that we should be saying, you know, and say that, look, the Lord has purged my sins. You know, Jesus actually said, he that is first without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. They couldn't do it. But this is the problem with people. People have stuff that they hiding in their own closet. All the crazy stuff that they themselves are doing, that they are guilty of. But they will crucify somebody else. You know? Somebody. I just don't know why people can't extend grace and mercy to others. You know? And so, but this is the year we must do that. So if you've been on the receiving end of all kinds of problems from the devil because of what you did in the past, which was not kosher. You know, yeah, you did it. And yeah, you are in this place, or you were in that place. But your lesson, my lesson to you today, and your faith posture should be, yeah, but that was then. You know, this is now. Glory to God. You know, so we cannot be under the heavy burdens of self-condemnation this year. You cannot be under the heavy burdens of sin consciousness. We got to move on. So you need to get rid of that. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus said in John 8, chapter 11. You need to also say this. Like Micah, I love this one about Micah. You know, he said, yes, you know, you gave me a, you know, they call it cheap shot. You cheap shot at me, so I found myself on the mat. But I am not going to stay down for that count. The devil will remind you the many times that you are knocked down. But you will say, look, I'm telling you, this new year, the devil will remind you of all the times that you were knocked down and that he wants you to stay down because you were knocked down. But you're going to say, like Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, you're going to say, look, yes, I was knocked down, but look at me now. I'm not down. I'm getting up. Glory to God. You're going to say, that was then, but this is now. You know, I am not staying down for that count. And you're going to tell the devil and put him in his place. You know, even though you knocked me down, but I'm not staying down for that count. What am I going to do? Well, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. You're not going to put up to with any nonsense that the enemy is going to tell you. And the devil is going to come at you. He may come at you. You will defeat him by the word. He'll go away for a season, but he'll come back. You know, and in your moments, in some moments, I've heard people say, you know, even in this room, they say, well, you know, everything was good, but this morning I just woke up sad, depressed. Why? Those are oppressing spirits. You know, they just come in like that. You know, but you got to shake yourself from the dust each time. You got to say, not today. That was then. Maybe you used to be sad. Maybe the devil used to just bring things, you know, you'll be gloomy and stuff. No, that was then. We're not going to do that this year. Hallelujah. We're going to rejoice in the Lord. The Bible says, and again, I say rejoice. Look. Our God is not a yo-yo God. That's what I always try to tell people. You know, but we are so full of yo-yo. Yo-yo behavior in our relationship with God. One day you are up, the next day you are down. You know, and it's always like that. You know, why can't we just flow? It's so hard. Even the disciples, Peter, who was always, you know, some kind of a loudmouth or always ready to say something. I mean, he used his loudmouth thing to get in the spirit once. You know, Matthew 16, when Jesus was asking for his, an opinion of all his disciples of what people thought they were, he was, and so on and so forth. And Peter gave that revelation. And Jesus commended him that he got that from the Father, not from anywhere else. And next minute, I mean, not too far from there, Peter began to rebuke the Lord that he's not going to go to the cross. You know, one minute he's in the spirit, the next minute he's in the flesh. You know, this is a man, I just got a tremendous revelation that the Lord said, nobody taught you this except my Father. The next moment he's in the flesh trying to dissuade Jesus from going to the cross. And the devil was inside of him. Did you know that the devil actually jumped on Peter at that time? In a moment of carelessness, thinking that, you know, he knows everything and trying to, you know, tell the Lord that, no, you cannot do that. You will not die. You're not going to the cross. And Jesus had to face him squarely and say, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. That's right. You know, so that's a yo-yo kind of thing. James chapter 1 and verse 17. You know, our God is not a yo-yo God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no yo-yo. That's my own translation for variableness. You know, neither shadow of turning. And what's my translation for shadow of turning? Mood swings. You know, mood swings. God is not a yo-yo, and he doesn't have mood swings. Mood swing is, you know, you are happy last night, you woke up this morning, you are sad. For no reason at all. And the devil will take advantage of that. That was then, this is now. I want everybody to exercise themselves in the strength of the Lord this year. Let's not put up with any of that stuff. Don't even be, look, Ephesians 4 and 27. What does it say? Neither give place to the devil. You know, don't even give him, because you give the devil an inch, as they say, the proverbial, give him an inch and he'll take a mile thing. You give the devil an inch and he'll take, in fact, he'll take more than a mile if you let him. You know, but the scripture says, don't give the devil any place. In 2023, don't even give him a chance. Don't give him any place at all. Glory to God. In your family, don't give him place. In your business, don't give him place. Anything that concerns you, don't give the devil any place. Devil bring up any stuff, say, well, that was then, but this is now. Glory to God. You know, I'm moving on. You know, I'm not going to dwell on that. And when I taught my series on wisdom and understanding and insight and all these things, I gave a law to people. I said, look, you know, the law of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You will never be better than you were yesterday or in the past if you fail to move beyond your past. You'll never do it. You know, so let me say it to you a different way for 2023. Whatever was your situation up until 2022, you will never be better than that unless you move beyond that. Whether it was good or bad, doesn't matter. Whether it was successes, you know, people who make great successes in life, they don't rest on their oars. You know, they say, look, forgetting what lies behind, Paul said, I keep on pressing for. Paul had many great achievements, but he wasn't going to just sit down on it and say, oh, no. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Philippians 3 and 12. 13. You know, I got many victories, but if you just sit down every day and just, you know, be looking at those victories, there's one thing you should do with those victories is thank the Lord. Because you didn't get it by, you know, like, as you know, Psalm 44 verse 3 said, they got not the land in possession by their own strength or power or anything. But the right hand of the Lord, he gave it to them. Because he had a favor unto them. So, and that's what we should do with the great victories of yesterday or 2022. And just thank the Lord. You, don't forget it. Always remember it, but thank him for it. But move on. You know, because unless you move on, you will never get newer victories. That's all you will get. You know, can you imagine? Just take our educational system, for instance. Everybody goes through this. You know, just think of it, you know, to help you understand what I'm saying here. You know, when you finished grade school, here in America, they actually celebrate that, you know, as if it was something great. Which I didn't know, but it was something great for the kids. I didn't know it when we first came here. And they, you know, they wear a gown, they give them, you know, diploma and everything. Great school! You know? And then what if they now say, you know, that's it? No! You gotta move on to the next. Then you move on, not even girls' grade school, kindergarten. I wanted to say kindergarten. In kindergarten, when they graduate kindergarten, they even celebrate it as if it's, you know, something great. And it is something great. But if they stop there and they move on to grade school, then that's all they would have had. But then after the celebration, then you got to go on to the next thing. So when you get to the next thing and then they graduate grade school, then they celebrate that. And then, enjoy the celebration. And then you got to go on to the next thing. You go to middle school, you go on to high school, you got to go on to college. And now some people finish college, that's it. No, but there's even more after that. You got to, you know, just keep going. You know, and one time I was thinking about this, and here's the way the Lord showed it to me. You know, and when I say show, you know, sometimes I'm seeing something, but I'm not seeing it. I see it in my mind. That's how God reveals things to me all the time. I just be seeing this thing. I can call it mind's eye or whatever. I don't know how. Can't explain it to anybody, but that's how it is. And I see it, even though I'm not looking at it in front of me, I'll be seeing it. And then God will be explaining it to me. And it was like this ladder, which had like sets, you know, just a set of ladder. And you know, you go a little bit, even in my house, you know, the staircase that I have has, you know, you go this way and it has a little landing space and then you go the other way, you know, and so on. So, you know, this thing was like that. You climb up so many stairs, a flight of stairs, and then there is a little landing place. And then you got to climb up a little more, and then there's a little landing place. And you got to climb up a little, and it was just like that. I couldn't see the end of the ladder. You know, but, and here's what you do. You can climb up the first set of flights, get to that small landing place, space, and you guys know what I mean. And then you can stay there and say, I got it. And then, you know, and then say, and the voice said, no, there's more to climb. But you, the thing is, you don't see, he didn't show me the end of the ladder. All I saw was, oh, there's one more set of flights. And one more flight of stairs, or steps to climb. And I thought that is it. And then you start climbing that one. And then you get to the other one and you find out, oh no, there's more. And if you drop anything along, here's the other thing he showed me in that lesson. You're carrying some things with your hand. You drop something, you got to go back and get it. My goodness. You cannot drop. And you're picking up these things. When you get to that landing space, you pick something up. Right? So let me put you this way. That king, here's my parable. You know, one time he said, you know, Balaam took up his parable. Well, here's my parable of the kingdom. The kingdom of God. It's like a set of flights, a flight of stairs that the man must climb. You know, the witch, you don't see the end. You don't know how many flights you have to go. And when you get to each landing, it's like a small victory. And you pick up a small jewel in your crown. And then you got to climb up to the next. And if you drop what you already got, you got to go back and get it. And you got to keep going back until you get to who knows where you are going. God knows, but you don't know. But you got to keep going. And if you, at any point you stop, then you did not get there. You got to keep going. So that's it. That's how he showed it to me. And so we got to, so this 2023, we got to move beyond 2022. And spiritual maturity demands that whatever you have, you carry along. You cannot drop it off. You know, you can't say, well, you know, yeah, now I'm going on to big secrets of great deep things of the Lord. Then you are going to lose and leave the little things like love your neighbor as yourself. Don't do this and don't do that. You know, the small things that we know in the Word of God, which we think is small, you know, and things like people, you know, people forget. You got to do this thing. When your brother hurts you, go to them first. Many people don't even know how to do that anymore. Don't go and tell somebody else. Go to your brother and read all of that, you know, that Jesus spoke to them about, you know, in the Bible. You know, so, but as we go forward this year, you read it from 2 Peter chapter 1. He says that these are the things you must do. You know, you have to add to your faith. Add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. Add to knowledge temperance. Add to temperance patience and so on. Add to patience godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 through about 9. You got to add. You can't drop something. If you drop, you got to go get it. That's why we go through many challenges in life, you know, more than once. Because you haven't learned the thing that God wants you to learn. And you haven't mastered that skill or whatever. You got to go through it again. You know, so master it, and then move on. So what Paul is saying, the things which I have already mastered, you know, well, I thank God for it, but I move on to the next, because there's more and more and more, you know. So you cannot be better today than you were yesterday unless you learned how to move beyond your past. Whether it was success, you got to move on to get new success. And more importantly, if it was failure and disappointment, then you really got to put that behind you. You got to say that was then, but this is now. You know, today is a new day. You know, today is what we have. We don't need to worry about anything else. You cannot go back and undo yesterday. You may wish to do that. Some people say, well, I wish, you know, well, that's only wishful thinking. That's not possible. You cannot go back and undo yesterday. It's gone. There's nothing you can do about it. What you can do about it, though, is learn the lessons from it that you need to equip yourself from today. I mean, for today, the present conflict, you can gain strength for the present conflict from the challenges of prior years. That's the story of David. The present conflict with Goliath, he pulled from his lessons, the fight with the lion and the fight with the bear. And so we got to move on and on. Now, here's a declaration of faith for us. Isaiah 50 and verse 7. And I want everyone, by the grace of God, to commit this verse to memory. Do it like a little memory verse. I love memory verses. But when I was a young man, growing up in the scripture, you know, and all that stuff, back in Nigeria, they made us learn many scriptures. And many of the scriptures that I know today, and my practice of knowing scriptures, came from all of that. You know, memorize scripture. It's good. When you memorize the scripture, you got to, always two elements to that. You know, first you must know what it says. That's the text. And then you should know where it is. And that's a reference. So there's always two parts to, you know, learning a memory verse. And I love memory verse. People say, oh, that's just Sunday school stuff. No. it's good stuff. You know, I do memory verses all the time. If I do Bible lessons or teaching, I like to give people memory verses. It's really good. So here's the one that I want you to take today. This should be your faith posture and your faith declaration for 2023. And this goes right along with, look, you know, I am not going to, you know, let the devil perfect me or all these kind of things. So here it is, Isaiah 50 and verse 7. I call it my faith declaration and your faith posture. You know, this is what it should be. I want you to be. I want you to know it. I want you to learn it. Learn it by heart and be ready to say it all the time. For the Lord God will help me. That's number one. You got to be able to, you know that right off the bat. You know, that's non-negotiable. It's like the three Hebrew boys that were about to thrown into the fire. You know, because they would not bow down to the image and the songs of Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will. That's number one. So that part is non-negotiable. Now, if the Lord does choose to do something different, that's his business. But as far as I'm concerned, I know he will. I know he's able, and I know he will. And as a young man, I actually made this determination in my heart that by the grace of God, when I stand before the Lord, I want to be able to say, I believe everything that you asked me to believe. Now, whether you did it the way, exactly the way or not, well, that was up to you. But you know, because the Lord is still supreme and he's sovereign and he can change things or move things around for whatever reason, best known to him, which I may not know. But for me, I believe that he can get me out of that fire. And he will get me out of that fire. That's what they said. So that part is non-negotiable. So the Lord God will help me. That's non-negotiable. Therefore shall I not be confounded. For 2023, the Lord God is going to help me. 2022 may have had its disappointments. I may have received bad report. I may have received, from the doctors, there may have been challenges, buffetings and different things in the family. The devil may even bring up your failures of the past, sin consciousness and all of that. But your answer is going to be, that was then, but this is now. The Lord will, God will now help me, and I will not be confounded. Neither would I let the devil try to put one over on me. Therefore, have I set my face like a flint. I love that. People in America call it put your game face on. That's what they say. Put your game face on. I have set my face like a flint. I'm not letting anything bother me at all. I'm moving straight on. And I know that for 2023, I shall not be ashamed. Woo-hoo-hoo. Isn't that wonderful? I want you to commit that to memory. And commit that to memory and use it as often as, you can throughout this year. In Joel chapter 2, the Lord said many times that my people will never be ashamed. Here's what he said. I will restore to you the years which the locust has eaten. Joel 2 and 25. The cankerworm, different things eat up different parts of the one that cankerworm left, the caterpillar will come and eat. The one that caterpillar left, the palmerworm will come and eat. The one that palmerworm left, locust, they just eat up everything. But the Lord said, no, I will restore the years. All the years that you could have lost. And the devil will say, well, you are here because you didn't do it. Don't worry about it. That was then, but this is now. I will restore to you those years. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God. But get wondrously with you. In 2023, ye shall eat in plenty. I'm doing my declarations now. In 2023, ye shall eat in plenty and you shall be satisfied. You shall praise the name of the Lord your God that I dread wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. Every time I read that part, I love it. And look at the next one. Verse 27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Now, when God says something point blank like that more than once, it's like Jesus when he said, verily, verily. When God says it, you can take that. People say, take it to the bank. Well, you can take it to heaven. You can take it to anywhere you want. My people shall never be ashamed. I will not be ashamed. Isaiah said, I will set my face like a flint. I know that I will not be ashamed. Glory to God. So in 2022, there were challenges. There were various things, that could have even been carried over from previous years. But the last day of 2022 in this room, we said no. We're not taking that over to 2023. Those are excess baggages that we needed to drop. And we did through prayer. Hallelujah. My family, we did it through my wife and I, through prayer and consecrated fasting for many days. And what we said, look, that's it. Enough is not enough. And I was praying not just for myself, but praying for people, by myself too, and all that. But anyway, here we are. So we are ready to take on 2023. Glory to God. And let me drop this for those of you who might not have attended our local service yesterday or seen it or heard it. The word was emerge. You are going to come out. You're going to rise out of obscurity in 2023. That's it. Well, I said many things, but as a summary. But when you do, you must set your affection on the Lord. You cannot let any of those things, good or bad, be a distraction to you in 2023. Our first and chief joy must be the Lord. But today's lesson, and I will close in a minute or two, and I'm going to pray, and then we'll talk. Today's lesson is, that was then, but this is now. Exodus chapter 3. In 1 minute, the bush, the dirt, the rubbish on the ground, and everything like that turned into holy ground. And when Moses said, he came there, the Lord said, this is, Moses didn't, it didn't look like holy ground to Moses, because he didn't know it. You know, he did see a phenomenon, but he didn't know it was holy ground, because he saw bush and dirt and everything. But God said, no, that is holy ground. For when God is never going to be in rubbish. So when, if you have God in your life, the devil cannot tell you your life is rubbish. Because when God is in it, it's holy ground. Glory to God. When God is in it, it is holy ground. 1 minute, it was dirt and bush and maybe rubbish, maybe sand, maybe some leaves, maybe some other dirt on the ground. But next minute, it's holy ground. So that was then. Once it was dirt, but now it's holy ground and consecrated because the Lord has arrived into it and upon it. So arise and shine in 2023. For thy light is come. Glory to God. The Lord is now your light, and he will cause your light to shine out of obscurity. He will even cause your righteousness to spring forth as the noonday. This is our chief pursuit, must be our chief pursuit for 2023. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I pointed out to people yesterday, that, you know, the Lord didn't say, seek ye only the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He knows we have to seek all these other things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things. Don't be seeking after those things. Even though we have to, you know, do those things. But don't be consumed with those things. The Lord will take care of business. So, Father, I thank you for everyone that's in the room today. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this new year. We've already declared many things from your word, Lord. And the word of God is self-existent and self-sustaining, folks. The word of God will sustain itself. Once spoken, Isaiah 55 will tell you, it cannot return void, but it will go forth and do two things. Well, first he said, the word that I speak to you, my thoughts are higher than yours. My ways are higher than yours. So when I tell you something, don't worry about how it's going to be done. Because, you know, I already know a million different ways that the thing can happen that you don't understand. You know, because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And so, but he said, look, when I send out the word, it will go forth, and it shall not return unto me void. In Isaiah 55 and 11. But it will do two things. It will accomplish that which I please. That's number one. And number two, it shall prosper in the thing whereunto it is sent. So, Lord, we latch onto that word for this year. And we say to every accusation or challenge of the devil that will try to bring upon us heavy burdens again, or oppressing spirits, or, you know, all of these bands of wickedness or satanic yokes, we say, no, that was then, but this is now. This house and this life is now under new management. And we go forth in the strength of the Lord, and I shall not die. I declare unto you that you will not die in 2023, but you shall go forth, declare the glory of God. I declare that in 2023, God will strengthen your hands. They will not be feeble. Glory to God. You will be strong, and you will do exploits in 2023. I declare that in 2023, you will emerge. Because the thing that was keeping you back, that's not allowing you to emerge, you've now figured out a way to say that was then, but this is now, so I'm going to hold me back anymore. Praise God Almighty. You go forth and accomplish great things for the Lord. You reach potentials hitherto unknown. break forth on the left and on the right, according to Isaiah 54. You know, break forth with no limits. Glory to God. And so, Lord, we thank you. We give you praise and give you glory. Thank you for giving us grace for new beginnings. We'll put behind that what's behind and move forward and keep pressing on to the mark of the highest calling. Yeah. Even in Christ Jesus. The mark that Jesus, you know, keep our eyes on the finish line. Keep going. And we got to keep pressing forward. Hallelujah. And keep on pressing forward this year. Nevertheless, whereto I have attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Look, whatever you've gained, you hold on to it. Whatever remains that is ready to die, you strengthen it. But no matter what, you don't let guilt, you don't let shame, you don't let disappointment of the past, discouragement of the past, failures of the past, what have you, hold you back. And you don't even let some small successes of the past prevent you from even greater successes. This year, we say that was then, but this is now, and we'll move forward in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless everyone that has listened to this. That's our lesson and season opener for this year. Praise God.